Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Well, what better way to close out the show today for the final hour than to have Greg Gurley live in studio? What's up, man?
All good. How about you?
You know, just living the dream. Getting ready for...
Good break?
It's been good, yeah. I mean, I've been here, so it's not really a break, but it's I love the holidays. It's great.
This isn't really a job.
No, we didn't have to work Monday. That's a break.
That's true.
It was a long weekend.
That's true. Break. Long weekend. And no, I'm not complaining, man. It's great. Love being here.
I'm complaining.
Love seeing you, you know.
Really?
Oh, that's a lie. How was yours? How was your Christmas and everything?
You know, it was good. We started off with a getting home. I think I talked to you guys last week when I walked into my house at 6:30 in the morning from Sacramento.
Yeah.
But that is always a much more enjoyable trip when you win. A couple of years ago, we kind of looked ahead and got our butts whipped by Temple in Philadelphia.
I remember that one. You guys get snowed in there, too?
No, luckily. That usually is what happens when you lose on the road.
Yeah.
And the plane, the wing falls off or something, you can't fly home, and you're like, oh, God, insult to injury. So, no, it was a pretty, you know, easygoing trip. It was just, that game started at, you know, 10 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah.
And then you're flying for 3.5 hours, so that makes for a late night. But, again, able to beat Jared Haase and Stanford. And the Stanford guard play was awful, and he's got his two guys that would be starting at guards that are injured. So when he gets them back and he had a good recruiting class, Jared will get that thing rolling. But, you know, we talked about it on the air. As, you know, that's a tough place to coach because it's kind of like, you know, with their academic standards and what you – it's one thing to get a kid in. It's another thing to get them, you know – it's not like they have, you know, different classes for different people. It's like, you're in, okay, now good luck. So – it's that'd be a tough deal, but he's a perfect guy for that job. It was good to see him and playing in Sacramento. Didn't know what to expect. I've had several KU donors that went on that trip that said it was one of the best neutral site games we've ever had. Simply the game was fun. It was a great crowd. It's a brand new arena, and so it was a good experience and made even better since we won. And holidays have been great. And you know, I gauge it on, you know, how often I have to actually put on clothes and leave the house or shoes. I went 2 days without wearing shoes, so that was. I mean, I
why not make it three?
Well, I wore my slippers in here today,
you
made fun of me. But these are really, really warm.
Man Uggs. I didn't realize you had more than one pair of Man Uggs.
Well, they don't call them Man Uggs. They're Ugg slippers that are made for. I mean, you know, why Man Uggs or mugs?
Well, because I think that most people assume that Uggs are women's boots.
If you took a poll of how many men had UGG slippers, I bet you'd be surprised. I think you're more in the minority on this.
Well, I think if you took a poll of the guys who would actually admit it,
probably fair. Oh, so I'm.
What?
Hey, no, I'm okay with it. I mean, I respect it because you're all right with yourself.
Completely. You've seen the stuff I wear.
Absolutely.
And I like comfort and I like warmth. And I don't know if you know this, it's. Lizak told me it was cold outside, so I put my UGG slippers on, and my feet.
I think there's a level of jealousy here from us. Like
they
that.
Look pretty comfortable.
I don't know if we're comfortable enough, Nate and I, in our own skin.
Oh, I'll wear anything, man. I don't care.
Right, you'd wear it, but would you admit that you own them? That's the different story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if there's an UGG,
but I'll still
regional,
make fun of Greg for it because I don't.
Regional director or anybody out there, I'm pubbing your brand, and I will take anything you send me. I'm a size 15. Which in Uggs is hard to find. And if you have any sixes laying around, you can send some to Nate.
youth six. Yeah, all right, well, good. I'm glad. Did you get those Uggs for Christmas? Was that a Christmas present?
No, I've had these for a couple years.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they might be hitting you up for a spokesperson job. I mean, you and Tom Brady, you know?
Yeah. That really rolls off the tongue, doesn't
it? Yeah. I'm Greg Gurley for Man Uggs.
And people would be like, did they say Todd Gurley? Or is it... Now, that would make sense.
Yeah, I could see. Now I think the number of people wearing those would actually go up.
So TB12 and GG33.
My nephew Todd is having a heck of a year. Might be the MVP.
He is. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, we're really proud of him.
Yeah, you should be.
Got a chance to win the rushing title.
Really turned it around from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You saw it coming, though.
Well, yeah, I spent a lot of time with him this summer, and we discussed.
You saw his workout.
He needed to, you know, run faster and avoid more people. And yeah. So he's like, good call, Uncle Greg.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Run faster and miss more people.
Yeah, avoid people.
It's,
yeah.
Football is simple. Yeah, I don't know why they really make it so. They run those long plays, you know, zebra right. You listen to Mitch on
500 word. Plays.
They ran the scat back out the zebra route. You're like, what? Just avoid people and run faster.
It's That's simple. Right. It is simple. A simple game. Basketball, on the other hand, is three-dimensional chess.
So complicated.
And that's why be tall and jump high and make baskets. All things that I could never do. Conference play. This is when it gets good for me. I mean, yeah. I you know, non-con's fun. But conference play is when it gets good. I made the comment to Jake earlier that the two worst months, the only 2 months on the calendar that I really don't like are January and February in general. I just don't like those months. But the thing that gets me through January and February is NFL playoffs and conference basketball. Conference basketball is what gets you going, like, you know, on a big Monday, you know, all those types of things. And we get it starting tomorrow night.
Friday night, go, 8 o'clock,
yeah.
The Texas Longhorns, so I'm leaving this afternoon. This is the second year that we've started Big 12 play in December. Last year, I think our first game was TCU.
Yep, and it was a Friday. I didn't remember that, but it was a Friday.
Yeah, and it was, you know, in years past, you know, that SEC Big 12 Challenge used to be earlier on in the year, so mm-hmm. therefore Big 12 season started later. Now we do that later in January, and so it moves it all up. But I like it. It's going to be a big test. And, you know, November and December for us were interesting months. We tried to put a cherry on top of our non-con schedule saying that, you know, everyone admitted that it wasn't your typical Kansas non-con schedule. But once we got to Syracuse, I mean, we were blowing people out. Outside of the Kentucky game, it was, I mean, we were shooting 60%, beating
scoring
Toledo, Texas Southern, South Dakota State. And so that was great. But then... Yeah, you start to get tested a little bit. We hit a little skid with the losses against Washington and Arizona State. And then came back strong, you know, got a good win in Lincoln. And again, we tried to, we all did it. We tried to make our non-con schedule probably look and sound better than it was. But it is what it is. We went 10-2. I think really could have been, you know, you look at all the scenarios, we could easily be 12-0, but you're going to have hiccups like that. You know, I think realistically 11-1 we would have been a little more happy with, but 10-2, there you go. You're in the top 15. You got an opportunity. This is a big 10 days for us because we go to Texas, come home, have the New Year's, play Texas Tech at home on January 2nd, and then go back on the road for everyone's kind of sexy pick in the Big 12, which is TCU. Knowing that it's going to be packed, it's not a very big gym, seats about 7,000-8,000. It's brand new, they gutted it, and people are enthused about basketball. They have a great facility now, they have a great team, they have a great coach. So this 10 days will go, I know it's a 18-game season, I get all that, but you get through this 3-0 and you've separated yourself because there's going to be a lot of teams that lose in Austin and there's going to be a lot of teams that lose in Fort Worth.
Six of the next 9 games are against teams ranked in the top 25. But it's an interesting list of teams that have those rankings. Texas Tech, TCU, West Virginia's not a surprise, Baylor's not a surprise, Oklahoma all of a sudden is up to number 12 in the country.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about the non-con, you mentioned the SEC thing. Some of the games that we thought would be big non-con games for KU maybe going into the season turned out not to be so much. I don't know how many people said, boy, that Texas A&M game is going to be huge. They're number 5 in the country right now.
Hey, and Arizona State's number 3.
Yeah.
So
the non-con turned out to be pretty damn good, actually.
Texas A&M is probably most people's favorite to win the SEC because Kentucky is good and they've got athletes, and but they're unbelievably young, like a lot of teams, and they just haven't really figured it out yet. And I don't know if they have that superstar. Texas A&M has got length. They've got athleticism. They have guard play. I mean, they've got a squad. And I remember Bill telling me this summer, he goes, hey, that Texas A&M game is going to be really good. That is a really good basketball team. So I know we're looking ahead about a month, but that will be a really good game. And obviously the best non-con game we'll have at Allen Fieldhouse, you know, besides the Big 12.
It's just weird. I mean, I guess it's cool to have it happen in the middle of the season of conference play. The only thing about it I don't like is that, like, to me, winning the Big 12 has taken on a different level of importance for KU because of the streak and because of the fact that it's, if they win it this year, it's the record. They own the record. It's not just tied, right? I think that they've tied it at this point. Because if winning the league wasn't, if that record wasn't at stake, if the streak wasn't at stake, you could make the argument that the Texas A&M game would be more important than some of the league games from a seeding standpoint, from the NCAA selection committee and all that. You could say, well, that's the most, but that game's not as important because of what Kansas
is. I understand what you're saying, but I think you have so many games in a season. Yes, that is an important game. But to a school like Kansas or a team like Texas A&M, yes, it's important, but I don't know. They'll obviously look at it for seeding purposes, but let's be honest. Unless Kansas has a massive losing streak or something happens that hasn't happened in a very, very long time, we're going to be a 1-2 or a 3 seed, correct?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
And you know, a win against, you know, you look at who we've beat so far this year, you know, a number 3 team in the country we didn't beat in Arizona State and some of the other, you know, Kentucky is going to be a perennial top 25 team, but not a top 10 team, at least I don't think so, as we move forward. So I don't know. It's not college football. It's not like one loss or two losses takes you out of it. But Kansas, again, these next 10 days will tell us a whole lot.
Well, let's focus on that instead of looking. We'll have plenty of time to get into that Texas A&M game down the road. So Friday, here's the slate of games in the Big 12. Kansas against Texas in Austin at 8 o'clock. Of course, a game you'll hear with Greg Gurley and Brian Haney on the call right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas State at Iowa State, also at 8 o'clock. The first game of the night is West Virginia at Oklahoma State. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. Oklahoma State's 10-2. No one's really talking about them. They were picked to finish at the bottom of the league, but they've looked okay. That'll be interesting. And then Baylor and Texas Tech, two top 25 teams, squaring off in Lubbock at 7 o'clock. So that's a pretty good slate of games to open up the league.
Yeah, and I think we looked at the Big 12 early on, and we're like, you know, we're not real sure what we're going to have. I don't think many people saw Oklahoma coming. I think we saw that they had a lot of underclassmen last year. And then adding Trey Young made them into one of the better teams in the country, let alone the league. I don't think we saw them coming. I don't think we saw, you know, Oklahoma State appeared to me to be kind of the possible doormat, so to speak, because they lost a ton with Juwan Evans and Forte, but they got Hammond back, who's an NBA talent. And them going down to Florida State and beating Florida State in Tallahassee was huge for the league. We had a great day. I think that was last Thursday or Friday when the Big 12 had an awesome day. Whereas when we were in Lincoln, actually, I think we went undefeated against non-con teams. So it was the Big 12 is a lot better than I thought it would be, meaning it's going to be a monster this year. Wherever you go, there's, you know, I think the only team that has probably done what we thought is Iowa State. Iowa State lost, I don't know the actual number, but probably 90% of their scoring. They pretty much lost everything, and he'll rebuild it, but it's going to be a tough go for Iowa State this year. But other than that, wherever you go, and it's still going to be hard to go into Hilton and get a win. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. No matter what team you have, it's one of the toughest places to play in the country. So this league is a monster. It's going to be you're going to earn it if you win it this year. And I think if you really had to put a number on what it will take to win the league, I mean, we do this math every year. Mm-hmm. what do we say? Kansas doesn't lose at home, so there's 9 wins. Then you got to do what? Go basically, if you go 5-4 on the road, that puts you at what, 14-4? That might do it. Now, 15-3 will for sure do it, and obviously 16 and so on. So if you can do that, because, you know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win, like Kansas has done. That's why they've won 13 in a row, and that's where the TCUs of the world and the Oklahomas of the world aren't used to that. They got to be ready to play every night. When they, you know, those are the games that win you the league. You have to sweep Iowa State. You have to sweep K-State. You have to sweep Oklahoma State. You do that, that's 6 wins right there, and then you can do the math. So long season, only round robin in the country, and it's going to be a fantastic year. And we might get 8 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Last year, Kansas went 16-2 in conference, and obviously won the league. They would have won the league at 13-5.
Right.
The next best record was 12-6. The year before that, Kansas went 15-3. They would have won the record with 4 losses. I mean, it just seems like if you can get to 4 losses, you're going to win the league. And it might be even, you know, one of those leagues again this year where they beat up on each other so much that 5 losses, you can still win the league. So it's going to be interesting. While we take a break, when we come back, we'll start to preview this game against Texas. Jayhawks and Texas Longhorns again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah, Greg, you're right. We got a pretty good here. Living the life. What? Talking sports. We got a good, man.
It's a grind, man.
It's not even work.
It's a grind.
Some days it feels like more of a grind than others.
Yeah, every day.
What does today feel like with me here? Be honest.
I'm going to tell you something.
Thank you.
Give me a 1 to 10.
I'm going to not answer that question.
We don't do 1 through 10 here.
What do you do?
It's
1 through 11?
Binary. It's either a 0 or 1. Yeah.
You're a 1, buddy.
So
you're
black 1. And white. Is that good?
You're 1, yeah.
Okay, good.
If she's a 1, it's a good thing. If she's a 0, then you're not.
Yeah, but with that, you kind of need a 1 to 10.
No. It's a 1 or a 0. It's binary.
Stupid.
You either would or you wouldn't. Right?
Well, wow.
Wow, now you've just taken it to a... Gosh, I'm sorry.
You asked me what this day is like. With Gary Lezak today was one of the most painful ordeals I've ever been through on this show.
I kind of liked it.
It was like...
I might have to podcast that one. I was not listening, surprisingly.
Good for you, man. You might have intentionally driven your car into like a median or something. It began with Gary asking Tim Grunhard to relive in vivid detail the most heartbreaking playoff losses in Chiefs history.
Yeah.
Hey, what was that like, Grundy?
What was that like to watch your kicker miss all those field goals?
Which caused Grundy then to say, hey, what was it like having cancer, Gary?
Oh, my God.
On the air. And so then I said, well, I hope you guys don't start asking me about the worst moments of my life. And Jake just goes, well, let me tell you about my parents dying. I mean, that all happened on the air. God. All of it in one segment.
That's awful.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, that's what today's been like. And now Jake comes out with the, oh, you would or you wouldn't. You know, like, that's where we're at today. It's just, you know.
All right, let's get back to sports. I'm
how
sorry.
How about them Jayhawks?
Man, how about
Pat Mahomes starting this weekend?
That's V. Mihailuk. Kansas, Texas, tomorrow night. You said you're leaving for Austin?
Yes, sir.
This afternoon? Will you go to any fancy restaurants tonight or something cool to do in Austin, Texas before the game?
Tonight, yes. Tomorrow, yes. We always have a alumni event at Shoals Beer Garden, which is walking distance to the Irwin Center. So cool. I always go there and see some Austin folk, and you probably run into Todd Reesing. Always shows up. It's always good to catch up with him.
Is that the place where it's like big outdoor?
Yeah, it's kind of a big outside. Yeah. It's kind of a barbecue joint. And,
that place is cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a good spot. And so we'll probably hook up with Todd tonight. He's always fun to, especially being from Austin and being around KU people. He is a legend. So he's fun to travel around that town with. So I'm not entirely sure what we'll do, but Austin's always a fun town. I like Rainy Street. You ever been to Rainy Street?
Yeah, it's way more fun than Sixth Avenue, or whatever it's called.
Sixth Street is fine, and if you go to Austin, you should do it. But it's like a it's like a Bourbon Street, basically, 6th Street is. Yeah. So then you go to Rainy Street, it'd be like picture 79th and Row, a bunch of Cape Cod homes in Prairie Village that are all bars.
They've been turned into bars.
Yeah. So you just walk into a house, I don't even know the names of any of these places, and there's like, you know, fire going, and there's a couple bars set up, and there's Christmas lights everywhere.
There's like just a back porch where people are just hanging out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's we'll probably get in a rickshaw, which I'll feel sorry for the rickshaw driver as Matt Beatty and I get into a rickshaw.
You burn a lot of calories. A
couple of big
YouTube
fellas. the tip is now 50%.
Yeah. and there's food trucks there. That's a cool place.
It is very cool place. Yeah. So if you're in Austin and you're listening to the show, you will find me on Rainy Street.
Tonight. Rainy Street. That's a good tip. It's kind of a hipsterish place too.
Well, that's kind of what I am. I'm
a total hipster.
I'm a hipster.
And your man Uggs.
I'll have some really slim jeans on. I might go get a tattoo sleeve, wear like a stocking cap.
Yeah, beard.
And a big earring that stretches your skin. Yeah.
All that stuff. I can see
like
it.
A really big hipster.
Gauge earrings are what they're called.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I when you look at people that wear those, and just you just,
stop.
They're
just
not like,
stop.
They're not like writhing in pain. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the ones you worry about is like if you decide you don't want that anymore. You don't have it. You know, you just.
What is your ear?
Why are we talking
like
about this right now?
I brought it up. Sorry.
Yeah.
Move
thanks
on.
A lot, Greg. These Texas Longhorns.
It's just the kind of day it is.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know what's going on today. This team has some players, and the guy that everybody talks about is Mo Bamba.
Great name.
Yeah, and he's a stud, right?
I mean, 7'9" wingspan, which I say all the time. I'd rather see what a guy's wingspan is than how tall they are. I mean, 7'9" is unreal.
Yeah.
So obviously, can cover a lot of ground. He's somewhat raw, like you would imagine, but man, can he change a game? He can change shots. He can block shots. He can rebound. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's got he can get off the floor quickly. He's not built like Doak. He's not thick.
No,
but man, he can run and jump.
Listen to these numbers, Jake. He first of all, he's averaging basically a double-double, 10.9 and 9.8 per game. And 4.3 blocks per game. I mean, he changes things.
You know, and so what with us being a small team, what we have to learn, and if I'm, you know, Malik Newman, who has struggled at the rim, don't challenge Mo Bamba. You know, all he has to do is just raise his hands, make himself big, and he's going to change or block your shot. So, in my opinion, we need to kind of utilize the jump stop from about 10 feet. Devontae is great at that. Devontae doesn't finish at the rim nearly as much as Frank did, but he's really good at ball fake, shot fake, and pulling up from 10, 12 feet. So hopefully some of our other guys understand that Mo Bamba. Now, you also don't want to just give in to him. You don't want to just, you know, let him control the game. So you do need to go at him every once in a while, maybe try to get him in foul trouble, but 4.3 blocks a game. He's doing something right.
It will be interesting to see that matchup of him and Doak. I mean, he's a very different player, but like when Doak decides to post up down low and they throw the ball to him, it's just going to be him going against Bamba.
This is what I've been wanting to see all year, and we haven't had to do it a whole lot. What is Doak's plan B? If we don't throw the ball over the top to the corner of the backboard and he gets a dunk, what do we do? If somebody just decides to play behind him and not allow Doak to push him out towards the free throw line, which is a great play, and it's amazing how often we get it. But if Doak just gets the ball on the block, how is he going to score against Mo Bamba? Now, it works both ways. Mo's got to score on Doak, but that's what I want to see, how Doak evolves as a big guy, and I'm sure all of our coaches do as well, but he hadn't really had to do it, because he shot an unbelievable percentage from the field, mainly because our guards get him the ball in a position to score. Now, this is when it gets tough. So this is when you grow as a player.
Well, can he out-muscle him? I mean, it's a matchup of size versus or power versus speed. I mean, Bamba's 225 pounds. So what does Doak have, 70 pounds on him?
He's 275, I think.
50 pounds on him?
Yeah, so, you know, the whole thing going against a guy like Mo Bamba is positioning. And if Doak just has to learn, when he comes across the lane, not to run outside of the lane, but to stop under the basket and seal your guy off and get the pass. And a lot of timing and chemistry has to happen, but seal the guy closer to the rim as opposed to just settling to get the ball outside of the block. Get it, go up quick, and dunk on him. And if he blocks your shot, you move on. But and that comes with experience. And, you know, he didn't have much last year, and he's played great this year. You know, you know what I'd do? I'd watch some tape on Richard Scott. You're You're of that. You're of
my
that.
My favorite all-time Jayhawk.
You're of that. That. You're of that. There's one of the great Kansasitians there, Mike Garozzo.
He put me in a food coma at the Christmas party this year. I literally woke up the day after the 8-10 holiday party.
Did you have was it the three-way pasta or what's it called?
We had it all, man. It was... Just keep it down over there.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, it's what it's called.
It's called Turn Your Candle Off.
Have you heard about that?
I don't know what that is.
It's your neighborhood, man.
What?
Lee Hood.
The Lee Wood. Turn the candle off at your table.
We call it the Wood.
Yeah, well.
That's a tough place to grow up.
That's kind of what it means when you turn the candle off, apparently.
Right.
But we're learning about this. Act like you don't know. But yeah, so much food. I woke up the next morning in pain because I had eaten so much. He had pasta. He had salad. He had shrimp spadini, like a lemon chicken. It was all
can't beat it.
Cannelloni.
So good.
Spumoni.
Kansas City tradition.
Oh man,
Staples.
So it's the best. So we'll. What were you were about to say? Richard Scott.
Oh, Richard Scott.
My favorite all-time Jayhawk.
You know, Richard Scott. You know, I'm 6'6", and I was a two-guard. Richard Scott was about 6'4".
Yeah.
And he was our four-man. And
Remember that 7-footer Nebraska had? Rich King.
Rich King,
yeah.
Yep.
And he dominated him.
So, Richard, the system Roy Williams had was perfect for Richard because it was a lot of interior passing, and it was all about sealing and being strong in your lower body. And Richard excelled because of that. He followed directions, got the ball underneath the basket. Richard was not a very good shooter.
No.
So
terrible free throw shooter.
So if he's 2 feet away from the basket, he had a much higher percentage than 6 feet away from the basket. So that's what he did. And you know, it probably won't happen, but if you watch Richard Scott, he was so good at sealing. Or Mark Randall or, Tyler Hansborough. That guy made a career out of a play that we called B3. You know, just a little fake screen at the free throw line, run down to the basket, spin, seal, bucket. And if Doak could get that, now we run a little different offense where we do the high low and whatnot, but man, just the principles of ceiling, because Doak has his body is just massive.
Yeah.
And he's
can't get around.
We talk about Mo Bamba being super athletic. Doak is a really good athlete for as big as he is. He can run and stop on a dime and he can get off his feet quick.
It's going to be a great matchup. I can't wait to watch that. And that's obviously just one of the matchups in the game that's worth watching. Are we going to see the Shaka Smart up-tempo team that he wants to eventually have? Or what style of games is going to be?
It doesn't appear like it. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to see at Texas what he did at VCU. I think it's kind of like when Mike Anderson was at UAB running that. It worked, and they wanted him a lot of games, but when you really get up against a good team, I don't think that way works. If you have good guards that can beat the pressure, and you turn every half-court set into a transition opportunity, and good teams are going to beat you. Now, you're going to turn over bad teams, there's no question. So that's why I think it's a bit of a hybrid. I'm sure they practice it, and I'm sure they can go to it when they're down, but I don't think you're going to see Texas play like Shaka Smart played at VCU.
You mentioned Malik Newman, and is he still trying to figure out exactly how he fits?
Yeah, I think so.
And what his role is?
I mean, that's got to be the answer because, you know, kid comes out of high school, he's a top five recruit. Goes to Mississippi State, stays home, makes everybody happy, doesn't work out. Transfers, I see him in practice all last year, and he was great. We go to Italy. He was even better. So, I mean, we're all just geeked about our four-man combo at guard spot, as good as anybody in the country. And you know, if I'm a player on this team, I would love to be one of those four guards because Devontae puts so much pressure on the defense. So does Fee. So does LeGerald. Malik gets a lot of open looks. I would love the amount of, number one, I'd love the playing time. That's a big part of
that
it.
That nice.
I would have to actually been on the floor. But you're out there. These guys get a ton of looks, and Malik just has to do a better job of knocking shots down. And I think it's a pretty simple thing. The kid's confident. He's a great kid. Plays hard. But he's got to just knock some down and get a little. You know, he had a big shot against Kentucky late in that game. Remember that? In a low-scoring game, that three with about a minute to go was the key on a game where everybody struggled offensively. But he was able to step up then, and we really need Malik to step up. He's obviously pressing. He's obviously thinking too much. You know, what a lot of coaches do when a guy turns a shot down or, you know, hey, what would you have done on the playground in Jackson, Mississippi 5 years ago or in a high school game? Well, I would have shouted or driven to the basket and dunked it. Well, what's different now? This is just more people here. The lights are brighter. Just do what you did in high school.
Yeah, I think I've never been in a situation like this, but I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes. Maybe what's different is I'm surrounded by guys on my team who are as good as me.
Yeah.
And if I take a bad shot here, that's to the detriment of somebody else on my team who could have scored a shot, whereas when I was on the playground in Jackson, Mississippi, I was the guy, and there no shot that I took could have been a bad shot.
There's some truth to that.
You know?
There's definitely some truth to that. But on this Kansas team, if you're one of the four guards, you're one of the four guards. There's not a fifth, sixth, and seventh. So the threat of being taken out for somebody else isn't really there. So
I guess you're
correct that once you get to this level and you're not the guy, you know, at wherever Malik played in high school and at Mississippi State, he was the guy. He's not the guy anymore. He's one of the guys, but this is Devontae Graham's team. And then it's probably LeGerald. Then it's probably Svee. So, yeah, it mentally that's got to be frustrating. But on the other end, in the back of your head, you're like, I might as well take it. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, I'm not saying like from a fear standpoint or anything like that. I think it's one of the great things about KU is there really usually isn't a guy. Like, even though this is Devontae Graham's team, he's not going to lead the team in scoring every night.
Well, early on in the year, people were asking me, who's going to lead this team in scoring? And I go, okay, before I answer that, who was the leading scorer on the 08 National Championship team?
I mean...
Right. It's hard because it wasn't... You know,
guess Darrell Arthur.
I think it was Brandon Rush.
Yeah, it was Rush.
I asked that question, but not by much. But not by much. And it was
every guy was right around like 12 points a game or something like that.
Which is very similar to this team and very similar to a lot of teams. I mean,
love that.
Go through Bill's last 13 conference championships and tell me who the leading scorer was.
Nope. Per game, Rush was 13.3. Arthur was 12.8. Mario Chalmers was 12.8. Darnell Jackson was 11.2.
Yeah, and was Mario Chalmers really the go-to guy? It turns out that he was in the biggest game of his life, but was he the go-to guy throughout the year? Not necessarily. It was Sharon in some games. It was Darrell in some. It was Brandon.
The knock that people had on that team going into the tournament was, who takes the shot at the end of the game if you need a shot? You don't have a go-to guy on this team.
But that's
and
us.
And then, of course, there was a guy that hit the shot of all shots. You
that's
know?
All of us media types just saying that we just think you got to have a go-to guy. It's the same thing with this team. It was Malik against Kentucky. It was Devontae last year against West Virginia. It wasn't necessarily Frank. Devontae, when we needed it, made the shots. Frank was the player of the year, the best player in the country. So all that being said, I think Malik, it can be a bit of a detriment that he's not the guy, but I think it can also be a positive that he's not the guy.
Well, I don't think eventually it's a detriment at all. I guess what I'm just wondering is when you get on a team where you're one of the guys, everybody is a guy, you know, like there's not like a clear pecking order. I just wonder if this is the first time probably in his life that he's been on a situation like that. If it just takes a while to figure out where exactly do I fit in this?
And how
do I best help the team?
And that is the problem. It's not a problem. That's the dilemma for hundreds of guys in college basketball
and
in professional basketball. You very rarely do you go from high school. Like Marvin Bagley is still the guy at Duke.
Right.
He was the guy in high school. But there's not a ton of Marvin Bagley's. Mo Bamba. Is Mo Bamba the guy
in
Texas?
No.
But he's figured it out. And I think it's easier for big guys. It's harder for guards.
You know exactly what your role is
because
when you're the big guy.
Really good guards have to dominate the ball. Frank Mason, that's why it's been a bit of a learning curve for Devontae because Frank had the ball in his hands all the time, and he made things happen off the dribble, off the shot, off the pat, whatever. Devontae's not that guy, but he's figured out his role, and he's excelled, and he needs to have a big year in order for us to get 14.
Yeah, I think I personally believe that eventually – it all and look, Malik Newman's averaging 10 points a game. It's not like he's having some terrible season. I just wonder if it's just that process of just figuring out exactly where you fit in, when the team, when does the, because that go back to the national championship team. One day it was Darrell Arthur going for 20. The next day it was Brandon Rush going for 20. The next day it was Mario Chalmers going for 20.
Sharon Collins coming off the bench.
It was always somebody. I mean, Sasha Khan was actually a really good player on that team. You know,
like Darnell Jackson.
It was always somebody different. And I just think sometimes it probably takes a little bit of time to figure out. Okay, maybe I'm not scoring today, and that's okay because Fee's going for 20, or maybe I am scoring today, and today's my day to go.
And
you know?
That's what Bill does so well is that he gets everyone to buy in that the pie is big enough. Everybody can get a piece. It's about sacrifice. Yeah. Hey, here's the deal. Hey, life is about sacrifice. You just have to do it. You know, everyone's not going to be the guy. And I don't really think that's the problem with Malik. I think it's just mental. I think it's just he's just got to figure it out. And just think when he does how good – this is already a pick-your-poison type of offense. If you're guarding Kansas, who do you try to shut down? Right now, if Marcus Garrett's on the floor, you leave Marcus Garrett open. Right now, you probably leave Malik open. So – when those guys start to contribute consistently, then you got real problems trying to guard this team.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be good for Malik Newman as time goes on at the University of Kansas. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back to wrap things up on the Border Patrol on this Thursday. Hey, by the way, we got our Christmas wish. Chiefs fans, as the Chiefs clinched the AFC West title and secured a home playoff game for the second year in a row, playoff tickets are in high demand, and Tickets for Less has the best selection of seats at the lowest prices, including lower level, club level, parking, and VIP tailgate 10 passes.
Playoffs?
Yeah, that's right, playoffs. Don't miss your chance to be a part of the loud and proud Arrowhead Stadium in a little over a week, and apparently the weather's going to be a lot better, according to Gary Lezak. Get the same Chiefs playoff tickets you can find on other sites, but without any of the fees, only at ticketsforless.com. Greg, let's talk quickly about some of these other games real quick that are coming up tomorrow night in Big 12. We've broken down the Kansas game quite thoroughly. I'm interested in this West Virginia at Oklahoma State game. Oklahoma State, you mentioned their good win against Florida State. They've got two losses, but those losses are to Texas A&M and Wichita State. Like, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. West Virginia, they were everybody's pick to finish second in the league for good reason, but in Stillwater is always a tough place to play. Right. What do you think of this game?
You know, obviously playing West Virginia is difficult. Their game doesn't travel as well. I mean, when you're playing in West Virginia, it's difficult. That place is packed, and they just foul you, and
you get more calls at home. Everybody
some
does.
Some get called, some don't, and you just got to play through it. On the road, it's a little different. Oklahoma State with their record, is definitely surprising to me. Losing Juwan Evans, losing Forte. I really thought they were going to lose Jeffrey Hammonds, but they didn't. And he's a prototypical two-man in the NBA, can really score. And he's had, I think he was suspended early on, but he's been great ever since. And, you know, like you said, they've only had those losses to two really good teams. So the question with Stillwater is, will they pack that place? I mean, when I was playing, it seated about 6,000, and it was the toughest place to play in the Big 8 outside of Allen Fieldhouse. Then they added the upper deck, basically. They put a bubble over it, and it's, 12 or 13,000. And, you know, getting to Stillwater from Tulsa or Oak City or whatever is – you know, that's a bit of a hike. So regardless, that's a good basketball team. You want to have a good crowd there because they can have very good crowds. I think West Virginia gets them, but it's still a very, very difficult place to play and a much better Oklahoma State team than I had thought.
Baylor at Texas Tech. Number 18 Baylor, number 22 Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Texas Tech's a team that doesn't have that superstar, but they've got a lot of guys back. They've got veterans. They're definitely on the upswing. I mean, it's Baylor is going to have a good point guard. They're going to have a couple really long guys in the middle, and they've got guards. I mean, they're going to play that zone. They're going to be in every game they play. Does their game travel? Does Baylor travel Lubbock? That's what we'll find out. And there's a lot of new faces. I think they've got one injury right now of, what's his name? He's a four man, and I think he's out for about a month. But Motton, who's a good player for them. So we'll see. That'll be another. I mean,
Terry Mastin?
Mastin. I'm sorry. Yes, Mastin. I don't know if he's back yet or not.
Swammy.
But it's one of those things that, hey, every single game on the docket, no matter where you're at, is going to be difficult, and it's going to be a really interesting year. And again, ultimately here in about 8 weeks, we're going to crown a regular season champ, and that champ better have a 14 or so in that win column to get it. This could be also a year where 12-6 might tie for the lead. That's possible. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, this turned into a great conference. These coaches, we've got some of the best coaches in the country, Final Four experience, veteran guys, Bob Huggins is going to the Hall of Fame next year. I mean, you look around, this is a hell of a conference, and it's going to be a grind.
It starts tomorrow night. Going to be a lot of fun. Safe travels down to Austin, Greg.
Thank you, sir.
And we will see you tomorrow. Last show of 2017. Jake, have a good vacation, buddy.
Thanks, bye.
We will see you tomorrow on the Border Patrol.